people don't do the bare minimum. And that's what's so upsetting, I think, about it. I am the most privileged, spoiled person in the world. I am an American citizen. You guys are Australian. You're collaborators of my empire. You guys are the doormats for my insane neo-fascist government's crimes. We have a duty. We actually have a beautiful privilege in our respective countries because we have power. We have the ultimate power. We can actually stand up and forge a new path. Can you imagine if Australia stood on its own 2 feet and said, no, we're not going to be the doormat for these crimes. No, we're not going to provide intelligence to target children in Gaza and Iran. No. And this isn't without precedent. This happened in the 70s. This momentum was built. This isn't a novel idea. It can happen again. It can happen again. And so it's so beautiful to use this, you know, to put this movie together, to use it as a tool of movement building, of activists, to orient ourselves with a proper perspective. And I think it's really obvious. You can't be a progressive and a Zionist, and you can't be an environmentalist and believe in a war. You can't be an imperialist and environmentalist. Can we all just get behind that? Obvious truth. So
never been clearer, in many ways never been more urgent, particularly in this country, because of AUKUS. You know, $33 million a day every day between now and 2055, not on the ADF, but on nuclear submarines. And the very real potential of nuclear weapons being hosted out of RAAF Tyndall on USB 52s and out of HMAS Stirling south of Perth on US and UK, particularly US attack class submarines. And this isn't sort of like, oh, you know, fold your tin hat. This is connect the dots program. The Secretary of Defense in December 2025 at the Senate estimates grilled on whether our AUKUS nuclear weapons state partners would be allowed to bring nuclear weapons on deployment in Australia under AUKUS, responded, we don't ask, they don't say, and the government's comfortable with that. We don't ask, they don't say, and the government's comfortable with that. He's now the Australian ambassador to the US. Now, they're dangerous times, and we need to ask when it comes to nuclear weapons, when it comes to all this stuff. We have a right to know and a right to say no. And you can't defend democracy by being anti-democratic. And you don't build peace by destroying people and planet. So, you know, we've got our work cut out. That's our task. And we'll give it a crack, a real crack. What has come through in your sense that makes people settle up and engage consistently and often at great personal cost against things that can seem insurmountable?
There's something really beautiful about this moment, even though it's so horrifying and dangerous, is that everything's clear. Who our friends are, who our allies are. We don't need to hide. We don't need to try. It's all clear. We don't need to waste our time with people who are not reachable, with people who don't care. You know, for the longest time, I always thought, if people just knew, surely they would wake up and be motivated to act. But after the Gaza genocide, I think we have to accept that there is a contingent of people who have succumbed to that darkness. They have ceded to the inevitability that it's too late. And we have to let those people go. Because there's so many of us that do care. And there's so many of us who don't want to accept shredded children as the normal status quo. There's so many people who say, absolutely not, that's not going to be the future that I'm going to raise children in without a fight. And so whether it be the elders in Okinawa who drove me to go back to Okinawa 20 years later after learning about what they have been going through for the prior 30 years, ever since the construction of those bases, and seeing the slow walking in shifts, knowing they're not doing this for accolades, they're not doing this for awards, they're doing it because they love the dugongs. They're doing it because they want that blue coral that is sacred. How dare I not try? I'm an American citizen. It's my government committing these crimes in my name. And I'm not going to do everything in my power. I'm not going to use my First Amendment to shout from the rooftops about what my government is doing. My question is, where the hell is everybody else? Where are the other journalists? Where are they? If there's one thing that this entire last 3 years has shown us, is the cowardice. The people who have succumbed to that paralyzing notion, it's about self-preservation. That they just want to have access, they just want to preserve their status. And it's unacceptable because it stands on the shoulders of mass graves of children. And that's not worth it to me. It's never been a choice. It's never even been an option. And so, you know, especially looking at our friends and brothers and sisters in Gaza, the journalists who have been hunted alongside their whole families just for the chance to show us the truth. It's like the videographer from Gaza Fights for Freedom, Maz Maza, he just had a beautiful baby girl named Elsa. The conditions that these people are living in, how dare we not? How dare we not? They believe in the future. They believe in fighting. And I ask him every day, I said, what is your family going to do? He said, they're going to wait to rebuild. They're going to wait to rebuild. They're not giving up. So how the hell can we? How can we? We can't. And not because we know we'll win. Because yes, it's insurmountable. It's massive. It's massive. But I keep thinking back at the, you know, abject slavery was the law of the land. Jim Crow was cemented into law. And there were people saying, absolutely not. This is not acceptable. We're going to fight for something that we know is possible. We can imagine something outside of this dystopian hellscape where people are enslaved. And that's why I continue to look around the world and I see billions of us. Billions of us. And that's what we have to do. We have to look at each other in the eye and say, we are human beings. We have completely removed ourselves from nature and each other. And it starts there. It starts with just unpacking all the trauma, unpacking all the lies, and fighting each other again. And I don't know what the answer is, but I know, holy shit, it's not this.
I just got back today from a few days in Adelaide. And I went to two different conferences, which were like two different, you know, fork of the road moment. One was the IPAN National Gathering, Independent Peaceful Australia Network. Inclusive, bold, gutsy, young crew just came down from the Pine Gap Convergence. Your First Nations crew, people of faith, all sorts of folks. Really different viewpoints, really comparable value set. And with a sense of agency, appetite, hope, and a sense of responsibility. Now, flip the coin and have the 50th National Conference of the Australian Labor Party. Nominally left-wing Prime Minister, nominally left-wing Foreign Minister, lifting majority in the Parliament, massive majority in the Parliament, supportive Senate. Anything half decent would be approved by Pocock and the Greens and sail through. Never been better, those options. And it's never been more urgent. Climate crisis, militarism, sliding into war, retreating into fear. And I know which choice I'm keen to make, and I'm about made. And I know which choice, you know, this room and all of us, and we need to grow that. And we need to understand that it's not a question of we're not rich enough, we're not connected enough. We can all do something in our own way. And my bit of plea to you would be to find something that fits with your values, your diary, your other life commitments, your pocket, but find something that says, I don't want to be part of a drift towards war, or sign up, or resign myself to a death cult. I went on Wednesday night to see this film, and I had a bit of trepidation. I thought, God, you know, you start 3 days of Labor Party with a film about the US military. Like, you know, I'm doing this voluntarily. And I was so pleased afterwards to see and hear Abby. And I sort of thought, you know, how sometimes you go to a writer's festival and writers can write really beautifully and they talk like, yes. And I thought, what does a person who makes films do And I thought, well, this person who makes films, when the American military machine is halted, has to be a footy coach. Because I sat and listened at that meeting, and I sat and talked alongside Abby at a protest outside the ALP conference, and I would have run through a brick wall at three-quarter time after listening to her.